Good morning. This is Artificially Intelligent News for Monday, September 7th, 2026. I'm Mark Ellison. This AI-created program is independently fact-checked before broadcast. It is current as of early Monday morning Eastern Time. We begin in Miami, where federal investigators are starting work after an Amazon cargo jet ran off a runway at Miami International Airport Sunday afternoon. At least 5 people were killed and 5 others were injured after the aircraft struck vehicles near the airport and caught fire. Officials said the plane had arrived from San Juan, Puerto Rico at about 2 p.m. It crossed a road used by warehouse workers and nearby businesses. 3 of the injured were listed in critical condition. Authorities had not immediately confirmed the condition of the pilot and co-pilot or whether all of those killed were in vehicles on the ground. The National Transportation Safety Board is leading the investigation. Its chair, Jennifer Homendy, is expected to outline the agency's initial plans today. The inquiry will determine why the jet overran the runway. Early reporting is not a finding of cause. The plane was operated by 21 Air for Amazon's Prime Air network. It was a 32-year-old Boeing 767 that had originally carried passengers before its conversion to a cargo aircraft in 2015. The crash shut all Miami runways for a time and caused more than 160 cancellations and nearly 325 delays by late Sunday. Miami is one of the country's busiest airports, so disruption could extend beyond South Florida as airlines reposition crews and aircraft. In Washington, the Trump administration has renewed its request for the Supreme Court to allow new restrictions on mail ballots before the midterm elections. The filing follows a federal judge's preliminary injunction against the Postal Service carrying out the administration's executive order. Judge Indira Talwani's order replaced an earlier temporary block. The administration is also pursuing an appeal in the First Circuit. The timing is central to the dispute. North Carolina began sending mail ballots on Friday. Alabama is scheduled to begin on September 9th, and more states are due to start soon after. Election officials challenging the policy say there is not enough time to revise systems and mail millions of ballots without risking disenfranchisement. The administration argues the rules should be allowed to take effect. The Supreme Court has not yet announced whether it will intervene. For voters, the practical point is that existing state procedures remain in place unless a court changes them. Anyone voting by mail should continue to follow the instructions and deadlines provided by their state or local election office. At the Pentagon, Army Secretary Dan Driscoll has stepped down after 18 months as the service's civilian leader. The White House confirmed his departure last week. Driscoll said in a public statement that his final full day was Wednesday, but did not give a reason for leaving. Tensions between Driscoll and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth had been widely reported. Those reports are separate from Driscoll's own statement, which praised soldiers, families, the civilian workforce, President Trump, and Hegseth. His departure comes during renewed U.S. military operations involving Iran and leaves the Army without Senate-confirmed civilian or uniformed leadership at the top. The administration has not clearly identified a permanent successor. The uncertainty also reaches the Army's effort to modernize its drone and counter-drone capabilities, an area Driscoll had championed. In New York City, public schools are imposing what city officials call the nation's broadest moratorium on student-facing generative artificial intelligence. For the 2026-27 school year, the policy bars student-facing generative AI in grades 2K through 8th grade. It affects nearly 600,000 students, according to the city. Companion chatbots will be prohibited across all grades. The city is not eliminating the subject from education entirely. High school students will receive AI literacy instruction twice a year. New York is also allowing 5 limited high school pilots, capped at 50,000 general education students. Those pilots must be teacher-supervised and use screened tools. That distinction matters. The city is pausing direct use by younger students while continuing to teach older students how to evaluate AI. Its high school modules will address what AI is and is not, along with bias, risks, ethics, careers, and future skills. Teachers may still use compliant tools for planning and operational tasks, and exceptions remain for certain assistive technology and career readiness uses. The 5 pilots are limited to general education high school classrooms, with no more than 5 classes in a high school. The city says each will use vetted tools under direct supervision of a trained educator. Mayor Zoran Mamdani and school's chancellor Kamar Samuels say the 1-year moratorium is intended to assess the technology's effects on learning, privacy, critical thinking, and student well-being before expanding its use. A coalition of students, educators, parents, advocates, labor representatives, and experts is expected to issue recommendations after the school year. The policy also adds age-appropriate screen time restrictions and requires a review of technology tools for safety, transparency, ethics, Evidence of Learning Design and Instructional Impact. A Technology in Schools Coalition is to assess the moratorium and pilots and publish recommendations for future school years. The policy arrives as districts nationwide are making different choices about classroom AI. New York's approach will be closely watched because of the size of its school system and because the city is pairing restrictions with limited, supervised testing rather than treating the issue as settled. Another consequential AI case is unfolding in federal court. The Justice Department has filed papers backing OpenAI in the New York Times copyright lawsuit over the training of chatbots. The government's position is that training models on large collections of online writing can qualify as fair use. It says the public and national security benefits of advanced AI outweigh the competitive harm alleged by publishers. Fair use is an exception in copyright law, but whether it applies depends on the use and the facts of a case. The government's filing is an argument to the court, not a decision binding it. The Times and other publishers argue that their copyrighted work was used without permission and that a ruling for the AI companies would harm creators. The filing does not decide the case. The court will still have to weigh copyright law, the specifics of the training practices at issue, and the competing claims of technology firms and news organizations. The outcome matters well beyond these parties. It could shape how AI developers obtain training material, how publishers seek compensation, and how courts apply a long-standing legal doctrine to technology developing much faster than earlier copyright disputes. As the country approaches the 25th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, a military judge has set a June 5, 2028 trial date for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and three co-defendants at Guantanamo Bay. They are accused of plotting the 2001 attacks. Those are allegations, not convictions. The judge set the date 18 months later than prosecutors had requested, citing unresolved pretrial disputes, including what evidence can be presented. The case has been delayed repeatedly over more than two decades. A previous trial date was canceled, and a proposed plea arrangement that would have removed the possibility of execution was later thrown out by a federal appeals court. The new date depends on the case meeting future milestones, so it could still change. One public safety item for Southern California this Labor Day: Hurricane Marie remains far out in the Pacific and is not expected to make landfall, but it has produced dangerous surf, strong rip currents, coastal flooding, and some rain along the coast. The National Weather Service warned that conditions could remain hazardous for another couple of days. Some south-facing beaches saw surf near 10 feet. Lifeguards in Newport Beach reported 177 rescues on Saturday alone. Long Beach advised people not to swim at city beaches and bays for at least 3 days because rainfall runoff can make the water unsafe. Coastal officials are also warning people to stay off jetties and to swim only near lifeguards. This is a beach safety concern, not a landfall emergency, but the currents are being described as life-threatening. Overseas now, and the most immediate international concern remains the Strait of Hormuz. Iran says it plans to announce an exclusion zone near the waterway for vessels it believes are attempting to pass through. Iran's new Supreme National Security Council chief, Mohsen Rezaei, offered few specifics about where such a zone would be or how it would operate. The statement followed a U.S. strike on three Iranian oil tankers Saturday. U.S. Central Command said the strike came after Iran launched ballistic missiles at two U.S. warships. Iran has also claimed it struck an unmanned U.S. vessel near the strait. The U.S. military called that claim false. These assertions are important to distinguish because the accounts are disputed. What is clear is that fighting resumed last week after a month of relative calm, and that traffic through the strait remains severely strained. The United States says more than 20 warships are supporting its blockade of Iranian ports. Iran continues to threaten or attack some vessels attempting to transit the waterway. The strait is a vital route for global energy supplies. That is why a military escalation there is also a household economic story. The national average for regular gasoline was $4.14 a gallon heading into the Labor Day weekend, according to AAA. Diesel averaged a record $5.85 a gallon on Friday. Higher diesel costs can work their way into freight, package delivery, and store prices. In the war in Ukraine, U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner met President Volodymyr Zelensky in Kyiv on Sunday, one day after meeting Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow. The envoys described the Kyiv discussions as encouraging, but no breakthrough was announced. The administration says it is trying to create conditions for a durable peace. The central obstacle remains unchanged. Moscow and Kyiv have incompatible positions, particularly over territory. The talks represent a renewed U.S. diplomatic push after months in which the effort had lost momentum. Russia's full-scale invasion is now more than 4.5 years old. Both sides have continued aerial attacks, and the front line remains roughly 775 miles long. For American listeners, the significance is direct. The United States remains a key military and diplomatic partner for Ukraine, and any agreement would affect European security, sanctions, defense commitments, and the wider relationship with Russia. But the careful description this morning is renewed contact, not a peace deal. Turning to the economy, U.S. stock and bond markets are closed today for Labor Day. The latest completed U.S. trading session was Friday, September 4th. Those are final closes, not futures or intraday figures. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 271.86 points, or 0.5%, to close at 53,414.25. The S&P 500 lost 29.11 points, or 0.4%, and finished at 7,718.60. The Nasdaq Composite declined 77.07 points, or 0.3%, closing at 26,506.99. The selling followed a stronger-than-expected August employment report. The Bureau of Labor Statistics said employers added 162,000 non-farm jobs. The unemployment rate held at 4.1%. That was well above the average monthly gain of 31,000 over the previous year. June and July payroll estimates were revised upward by a combined 55,000 jobs. Food services and drinking places added 59,000 jobs. Local government education added 42,000, largely reversing a decline in July. Manufacturing added 16,000. Information employment fell by 23,000. Average hourly earnings rose 0.3% in August and were up 3.1% from a year earlier. The labor force participation rate edged up to 61.6%. For markets, stronger hiring can be good news about the economy while also complicating the Federal Reserve's inflation fight. Investors reassessed the chance of higher interest rates. Treasury yields rose and stocks fell. The next major tests for that outlook are this week's inflation reports and the Federal Reserve meeting later this month. 1 month of data does not settle the policy decision, but Friday's report materially changed the debate. In sports, college football's opening weekend produced a finish that will be argued about for some time. Number 16 Michigan beat Western Michigan 13-12 only after officials ruled that 1 second remained following an unsuccessful Hail Mary. The stadium clock had shown no time left. Given the second chance, Michigan quarterback Bryce Underwood connected with J.J. Buchanan on a 47-yard touchdown. The ruling turned an apparent Western Michigan upset into a Michigan win. The Wolverines had committed 3 turnovers without forcing one and allowed Western Michigan to hold the ball for more than 2/3 of the game. It was Kyle Whittingham's first game as Michigan coach. The dramatic victory prevents an immediate upset on the record, but the performance leaves plenty for the Wolverines to address. The next Associated Press Top 25 poll is due Tuesday after the Labor Day slate is complete. At LSU, Lane Kiffin's debut ended in a decisive 51-10 victory over Clemson, though the game was delayed nearly 2 hours by lightning. The larger college sports question remains unresolved. LSU left Daquan Wright and Zigzavian Harris off its roster for the opener. Both had signed with NFL teams before trying to return to college football. A Louisiana judge had issued a preliminary injunction against the NCAA in the eligibility dispute. The SEC has a rule barring players who signed NFL contracts from playing conference football, though that rule was put on hold by the court action. LSU avoided a direct clash with the conference for now by not using the players. The issue shows how rapidly eligibility rules are changing through litigation as well as through the NCAA and conferences. Kiffin's team did not need the additional players against Clemson, but the legal questions are likely to continue well beyond opening weekend. A quick results roundup. In college football, Michigan edged Western Michigan 13-12 on that final play touchdown. LSU beat Clemson 51-10. Number 2 Oregon rallied from an early 10-point deficit to beat Boise State 34-27. In Major League Baseball, Atlanta beat Philadelphia 5-4. Cleveland topped Detroit 3-2 in 10 innings. And in entertainment, Spider-Man Brand New Day remained number 1 at the North American box office for a 6th straight weekend. The Sony film starring Tom Holland earned an estimated $18 million from Friday through Sunday. Studio estimates put its 4-day Labor Day weekend total at $23.3 million. Its worldwide box office has reached $2.4 billion. That makes it only the second movie this decade to lead the box office for 6 consecutive weekends. The Odyssey stayed second with $13 million domestically for the three-day weekend and $1.63 billion globally. Together with other releases, the two films helped lift the domestic summer box office to $4.6 billion through August 31st. That was up 26.1% from the same point last year, according to Rentrak. The figure does not mean admissions have fully returned to pre-pandemic levels, especially after inflation. But it is a notable recovery for an industry still adjusting to streaming, labor disruptions, and a more selective theatrical audience. That is your Monday briefing. If this calm morning briefing helped, follow Artificially Intelligent News and share it with one person who would value it. I'm Mark Ellison. Thanks for listening.